as the Zold Amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have this to look forward to every morning. What is it, May 3rd? Let me look at this thing. May 3rd, 2017. Sure enjoy getting up and sharing this time together with you guys. I don't know about you, but this program, I guess we would call it a program, this huddle, this whatever this thing is that we do, has really forced a discipline in my life that I didn't have before. And it's discipline me in a lot of different ways. Number one, I go to bed early. Don't call after 9 o'clock, all right? Number two, I get up early. And I get up early and everything's quiet. And get out my cup of coffee and dig into the world and what's going on in the Word. And dig into the Word and what's going on with the Word and try to blend those two things together. And I got to tell you something. I am more convinced about what we talk about every day. The simplicity. I believe this. I don't believe Christianity is an obstacle course. I don't believe it's a seek and find. I don't believe that God, when he put the word together, hid little clues at different places. What was that they used to call those things? Was that a scavenger hunt? Is that what they did? They called them scavenger hunts. And you would go find one thing, and then when you found that one thing, then you had to go find another thing. The Bible's not like that. God's not like that. God, he made things simple, easy to understand. And somewhere along the line, somebody turned it into a scavenger hunt. I don't know who did it. One of the things that we try to figure out here when we come together on every morning is, number one, the clues. Where are these things hidden? And who did it? Who left that trail of breadcrumbs that leads us to this spot? Because the simplicity of the gospel, boys, it ain't hard, man. It ain't hard. In fact, Jesus, he even simplified it more when we get talking about the Ten Commandments. He said, the disciples came to him and said, which one's the most important? And he said, hey, listen, dudes, there ain't even 10. He said, it's only 2. Just 2 of them. Let's simplify this a little bit. Let's not make this complicated. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbors yourself. If you do that, everything's going to fall in place. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to lie to him. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from him. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to go out on his wife. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to covet his goods. If you love your neighbor, you're going to honor your mother and father. He said, quit making this thing so complicated. But unfortunately, we created a profession. Oh, Lord, do I have to go there? I'll go. Okay, I'll go there. We've created a profession called minister. I hear you out there say, well, Coach, you're one too. Yeah, I am. Yeah. But we live off of, my wife and I, we live off the donations of others. I don't deny that. But listen, you don't have to give here. You don't have to. People value what we do and they send us money to keep us on the front lines. But it's not like I come on here every morning. I say, did you pay your tithes? Are you cheating God this morning? We created a profession. And I was speaking this weekend when we were speaking with some friends this weekend when we were down in Savannah. And I said, the problem we have in the church, I think I shared this with Todd, the problem we have with the church is the money never leaves the church. It just recycles within the church, paying pastor salaries and paying electric bills and paying, repaving the parking lot and buying this and buying that and smoke machines and plasma TVs and benches and pews. And it never leaves there. We have created an organization. We've created a religious system. We've created a religious system. Can I tell you the truth? Where the pastors, the leaders don't even get along. They don't even like each other. Pastor so-and-so in this town doesn't get along with Pastor so-and-so in this town. Oh, they may have pastor breakfast where they get together and act like they like each other. But really all they do is they get together to figure out who's ahead in the game, who's got more people in there, what programs they're running. And if they got right down to it, they'd love to be able to steal sheep. Somebody give me a thumbs up. That's really, well, that's what's in the heart of them. Cause you create a monster and you got to feed it. And this stuff, you know, listen, a lot of this stuff is not hard. It just is not hard. And I began to do some, I'm preparing on today's show. I was up early this morning and I had an idea in my head what I wanted to go to today and began to prepare for that, to talk about that. And Steve is on with us today. And he said to me here before we got going on the show, he said, Coach, it's right before our very eyes. And the Bible tells us having eyes, you see not, and having ears, you hear not. And it is amazing the number of people that I run into on the daily basis who cannot see. I was bombarded this week. That's not the right word. I received a great deal of emails this week from people who said this, Coach, wow, I never thought about those chemtrails. I never thought about those chemtrails getting into the food and into the soil. Coach, I never thought about us breathing those things in. I never thought about that. Now, I've looked up in the sky and I've seen it, but I never thought about it. And I'm thinking, nobody told you that? No, your church didn't tell you that was going on? Your pastor didn't tell you to look up? See, the Bible says look up for your redemption draweth nigh. I say look up because they're spraying something on us. Look up. It's right there. You can't see it. You can't see it. Right wing watch went after me because I've seen that we were being poisoned and we were seeding the clouds. Hey, boys and girls, if you watch this show regularly, you know I present the evidence out there. I lay it out there. You don't have to agree with it. Google yourself. I don't say, hey, if you don't agree with me, you can't be on this show. This is only for people who agree with me. No. No, I got a great thing to show you right now. I don't know if I'll get to it today on the rapture. There ain't no rapture. Making some of you mad right now. Make some of you. See, you only think there's a rapture because the pastor told you there was. Some pastor told you. Some breadcrumbs led him to that. And he doesn't even know where the breadcrumbs really, really started out. There may be a catching away, but it ain't what they've been teaching us. Whole denominations separating over the idea of what they call the blessed hope. I don't even want to get into it, but I just did. You know that we divide. You know that we can't end abortion. You know that we cannot end a child sacrifice. Do you know that we can't end this pedophilia that's going on? You know that we can't end all this sin that's all around us because we're too busy fighting about when we're going to be out of here. We're too busy fighting about family feuds, foolish and unlearned questions, the Bible said, do engender strife. And you know, if the rapture comes tomorrow, I'm out of here. I ain't going to worry about it. I'm not going to sit down and study and read. It's like watching a stinking football game. Oh, the clock's running out. They need to score on this possession. Oh, my goodness, better look. Oh, my goodness, if that guy makes this basket. Oh, here it comes. It's how we live Christianity. I bet you sometimes the Lord sits up there and this is sacrilegious, okay? I bet he probably wants to tear pages out of the Bible. Say, how'd they get that? How did they get that out of that? Holy smokes. What's going on, boys and girls? That's what I think God's asking us sometimes. Boy, I don't know where that came out of, but it's a little bit of frustration. But I'm excited because I run into more and more every day. I hear from them. Now, we're going to be treading into some territory here that's going to get dangerous because as we continue to have more and more impact, we're going to fight more and more censorship. We got censored the other day just because we played a little video. I don't even know. All Jared told me what it was. Hey, Jared, can you explain to everybody why YouTube or Facebook or whoever it was, why did they pull our video last week? Folks, are you ready for that? Listen to this. Why did they pull it, Jared?
One of the – at the very end of the show, we played that little animated airplane video and then – there's music attached to that, and that music attached to the video we played was copyrighted. Now, the way Facebook handles that is they just delete the video immediately. YouTube is nicer about it, but Facebook, they just delete it immediately. So
you understand what happened? We played a video – that whoever made the video used a soundtrack with it, and because of that, they pull us down. So, see, these kind of things, these things aren't happening by accident, okay? You understand that, don't you? That there are people out there who definitely do not, listen, there are spiritual entities right now that don't mind if Joel Osteen is preaching on every TV station and every radio station in America. He ain't getting any opposition. Putting him on there and T.D. Jakes on there, putting all those guys on there. But they ain't going to let me come on here and talk about chemtrails because they're going to say it's a conspiracy theory and that guy's crazy, see? That's what Right Wing Watch is trying to do. They're trying to get people to quit watching us. They're trying to make us look nuts. You get what's going on? This is part of the war. So I get excited every time it happens. I get mad. What's that line I always use? Pigs are starting to squeal. Pigs are starting to squeal. Man, I got some stuff I want to get in here today. Let's go to Steve Mencken was on with us today. And by the way, Steve is hosting the Hagman and Hagman Report. That's tomorrow night, Steve. Is that right?
Yeah, it's tomorrow from 7 to 10 Eastern.
Thursday night from 7 to 10. That guy right there, Steve, is going to be hosting the Hagman and Hagman Report. So tune in and catch Steve if you can. And we were having a little bit of discussion, and I said, you know, I don't really have a scripture today. I don't really have one. And Steve flopped one up there for me, and it's in 2 Corinthians. Jared's way ahead of us here today. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want to begin in verse 1, okay, because it talks about the simplicity of it, okay, simplicity. Hey, boys and girls, frankly, I couldn't care less what you think about the rapture, okay? I couldn't care less, and I don't care whether you speak in tongues and lay hands on people when they get slain. It don't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. To me, those are all. In fact, we'll have brothers in the Lord say, well, we'll agree to disagree on that one. But then they don't. We'll agree to disagree on it, but yet we'll go to war on it. We're not going to fellowship with you because you believe this and we don't believe that, so you know, we can't get together. And meanwhile, the homosexuals and the Islamicists and the abortionists and the pornographers, they're all hanging out together. They're all working together. And we're fighting because, well, do you sprinkle or submerge? Do you baptize in Jesus' name or in the name of the Father and the Son or the Holy Ghost? Huh? Do you guys believe in that you receive the Holy Spirit when you're born again, or do you believe are you with me? Is there any reason why we're losing? And who do you think the author of confusion is? I know who he is. The Bible tells us who the author of confusion is. Oh Lord Jesus, where did that thing go? All right, that called up here, yes, my computer's acting crazy. There we go. Okay. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little of my folly, and indeed bear with me, Paul says, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You see that? This is simple. The simplicity that is in Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpents beguile. Oh, I just read that. I'm sorry. Verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit. Ooh, there is another spirit, I guess, which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. I didn't rob other churches. I didn't take any wages from them to do your service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me from of this boasting of this region of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. Okay? So while we're talking about the simplicity of the gospel, simplicity of it. I want to start with this right here because I want to get it off my chest. Hey, Jared, I put up their picture. I think I just sent it to you, an abortion image. Guys, I want you to look at this. I want you to look at this. This ought to be in every church in America. See how big you can make that, Jared. You know what that is? Okay, I'm going to tell you what that is. It's a little 12-week, 3-month aborted baby. That's what you're looking at right there. That little aborted baby, look at this, that baby in the size of the hands, palm of the hands. Think how big your hands are. Look at your hands. Think the size of that little 3-month baby. Killed through a saline solution. Aborted baby. It's Malachi. We take little Malachi with us when we go out to the streets sometimes. We have a little casket that we put him in. Hey, you know something? It's not illegal to keep Malachi. Do you know why it's not illegal? Because he ain't nothing. He ain't a corpse. He ain't anything. So they can't get you for. See, if they told us that you can't have him around because you can't have a corpse. But they're boxed in on that one. But I want you to see that. See his little body. Malachi's little body is black because he's salt. Salt solution. Saline solution. Now, I want to make you really feel bad. Okay? He breathed that in. You imagine that little guy's lungs? Imagine what that little guy looks like on the inside. And this is going on daily. In fact, a lot of times they don't even go to the decency of burning them anymore. They just reach in, just pull rip their little body parts off. Yeah. Sure. And so Republicans come up with a new budget and they don't even defund Planned Parenthood. Why don't they defund Planned Parenthood? I'll tell you why. Because the church couldn't care less. Look at that picture. Look at that. Church couldn't care less. Couldn't care less. Don't bother me with it. Don't bother me with that. Trust me. America will never be great again as long as we continue to allow this to happen. And why does abortion continue to be legal in America? Because church doesn't care. Remember? Matthew 16. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build me a church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against the church. If there's anything more hellish than the destruction of an unborn baby in its mother's womb, I don't know what it would be. And the only way that abortion is going to end is when the gates of hell get attacked by his church to bring this down. Hey, guys and girls, I'm telling you right now, this is fueling the entire evil that's going on. Blood is currency in the spiritual realm. That's just shedding of blood. There is no remission of sin. And as I heard somebody say the other day, I can't remember who it was, I'd give him credit. This actually is food. Blood is food. Demonic food. I hope you're watching Right Wing Watch. Blood is demonic food. And we will not turn off the buffet. Because we don't turn off the buffet, look what happens. Look around America. What's going on? It's unbelievable. Okay, anybody want to say anything? We'll just pull that picture down and I'll get heading on here. It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, Coach, in verse 6 of what you read, Paul himself is talking about how his speech is not like well-refined. It's not polished. It's not trained. Even though he, Paul, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and he's expertly trained in Judaism and the religious histories of Israel, but he's saying, I'm presenting Christ in simplicity because that's what you need.
Amen.
That's all that you need.
That's so right.
In 2017, when I'm working with my students, I find that, you know, if we could just read, write, think, and speak, this world would be a different place, but we can't even do that.
Isn't that the truth, brother? We no longer, Steve, as everybody knows out there, we no longer share a common idea of truth. Truth is no longer. See, truth is stands alone. I made somebody mad this weekend, Roger. Not mad, but jokingly. I was talking about our son who's an attorney or going to law school, whatever. I said, you know what the worst thing about law school was? is all they did was taught my son how to attack the truth. That's what lawyers do in courtrooms. They attack the truth. They attack the evidence. That's all they do. And their job, and they're doing their job, the job of an attorney is to create doubt in the mind of a juror regarding truth. It's his job. And now it's everywhere. It permeates everywhere. Is it any wonder that all of the guys in Washington, D.C., all the elected officials are attorneys? Huh? Don't mean to pound you on the head this morning, Roger. I'm just telling the truth. That when you go, you hire a good lawyer, you want to hire a guy that can tear down the other guy's truth. Go ahead, Roger.
Professional. We're special.
Special liars. Taught to lie. I told Zach, I said, I remember when you used to be really smart. What happened to you? He said, I went to law school. And now nothing's true anymore. Somebody say amen?
Everything is up for debate.
Everything is up open for debate. That's right. Without beyond a reasonable doubt. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, Coach. I mean, there's no question the reason, like this Republican health bill and budget, these Republicans, most of them are so compromised that the powers to be, the deep state has dirt on them. You're right. I mean, there's just such a lack of truth. But there's no question. There's just tremendous compromise that's keeping this evil intact.
George, I ran for Congress in 2010 here in Ohio, and I put my cross hat on. I made it very clear I was a Christian running for office. You think the church voted for me? Some did, but not most. You know why? I was too fundamental. They'd rather hire a crook rather than somebody that's going to, as Steve said, just tell them the truth. Simplicity of the truth. They don't want a guy like that. And so it trickles down. That's why we got in the pulpits. We got in the pulpits, guys who won't tell them the truth. They'll tell them a little bit of the truth. They'll give them the happy talk truth, but they won't get down into the nitty gritty of what's really going on. Which is why today we're going to talk about everybody's favorite subject, money. Talk about money. And the reason that this has come up to me is my wife and I just recently sold a home, not our home, but we're building. So we sold a home, and all the money that disappeared out of our pockets through that process of closing. Where did that money? What the heck? Where did that go? And then they always got to send in. I was thinking about this. You always got to send them your tax returns. And I got thinking, number one, what business is it of theirs? And number two, why do I have to do a tax return? See, it's like this. Can you think of any other thing in your life? What if they came to you and so you're going to get an audit, okay? You're going to be audited by the Fed. We're going to talk about the Fed here in a minute, too. I'm going to strip off a little bit more. And they said, hey, by the way, we want to do a review of your taxes. And when you come in here, would you do us a favor? Would you please bring all the evidence against you? You come and bring all the evidence with you, and then we're going to look at all the evidence, and we're going to determine whether you're guilty or innocent. Rather than them, as in a court of law, they have to present the evidence. In fact, the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution, I think, is still in effect, and it says that you don't have to be a witness against yourself. So if the IRS were to call you and say, hey, we want to audit your taxes, say, go for it, get your own records. You ain't getting mine because I'm not going to present evidence to you. It's going to hang me. But again, we don't know this, that according to the IRS laws, you waive your Fifth Amendment right when you sign your tax return. You guys know that? You waive it. So they charge you with a crime, and they say, bring all the evidence in. And then our judges will determine whether you're guilty or innocent. It's unbelievable. So I came across this just, Jared, let's pull this one up. There are a list of 97 taxes Americans pay every year. Just want to try to remember the love of money is a root of all evil, and that everything, what's the old saying? Follow the money. Follow the money. And I ran around yesterday after the show was over. I ran around to our county administration building because we're trying to get a lot split on some land. I had to go to the health department. I had to go to the engineers department. I had to go to the planning commission. I had to go to this commission and then to that commission. And I had to pay money every time I went someplace. They picked money out of my pocket and just to be able to build a house. Just build a house. So this caught my eye. I just show you all of you. So because we had a levy, a 911 levy here yesterday. I forgot about it. I didn't vote. The only thing on the ballot, I forgot to. I don't know if it passed or failed. And see, so you get stuck in this position. Say, well, coach, don't you think 911 services are important? Well, sure I do. Sure, I do. I think they're important. Why do they always need more money? I remember when it was a volunteer fireman, and my uncle Jim, they were the guys that came. And when I got a little, now everything is, well, what about parks and what about the elderly and what about the handicapped and what about mental health services? It's on and 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 on. We gripe and moan. Jared, just scroll down through this. 97 taxes Americans pay every year. You ready? We'll just go real slow through this thing here. Air transportation taxes, biodiesel fuel taxes, building permit taxes. Somebody say amen. Business registration fees, capital gains, cigarette taxes, court fines. Oh, my goodness, I could go on there. Disposal fees, dog licenses, driver's license fees, employer health insurance, mandate tax, employer Medicaid taxes, Social Security taxes, environmental taxes, estate taxes, excise taxes, federal corporate taxes, fishing license taxes, flush taxes, food and beverage license fees, franchise business taxes, garbage taxes, gasoline taxes, gift taxes, government ownership permits, hazardous material disposal fees, highway access funds, hotel taxes, hunting license taxes, import taxes, individual health insurance mandate taxes, inheritance taxes, insect control, hazardous materials, licenses, inspection fees, insurance premium taxes, interstate user diesel fuel taxes, inventory taxes, IRA early withdrawal taxes, IRS interest charges, IRS penalties, library taxes, license plate fee, on and on and on and on and on it goes. Look at all these toll booth taxes, sales taxes, state park entrance fees, alternative minimum tax, water right fees. Yay, man, e-criminy. See, we just have the illusion of freedom in America. Oh, wait a minute. How about this? 10% church taxes? Somebody give me a thumb up as a tongue-in-cheek. 10% church tax? If we were to add all these up and you were to sit down, and you would be shocked and amazed at how much we're paying in taxes. Okay, Jared. Say, coach, I've never seen like that in my life. I know, that's why I showed it to you. All right, here's something interesting. I just want to throw this one up, Jared. Throw this one up there. This just came out today. Jared Kushner. You know who Jared Kushner is? Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump's son-in-law. This little ditty just came out. He's 36 years old. It says, what's it say, Jared, on here? It says, Kushner's debt. Look at this on Breitbart this morning. Jared Kushner is 36 years old. And he didn't disclose that he has, are you ready for this? $1 billion in loans. 36 years old. And somebody has loaned him $1 billion. And, of course, who is it? Why, Goldman Sachs and George Soros are the primary holders. Now, scroll on down here a little bit, Jared, because there's something interesting I saw in here that I want you all to see. Hang on now. Look at Jared Kushner there. Just scroll that back a minute, Jared. Look, I want you guys just to look at him. I'm not even going to say anything. Can you enlarge that picture, Jared? Look at him. I'm reading somewhere, I don't remember where it was, somewhere in one of these scriptures, it says, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. That's all I'm going to say about that. Would you scroll down? I want you to see something else here, Jared, on this article, Jared, if you can go down a little bit more. He has a business partner. This article's there, Breitbart. He has a business partner On down a little bit farther, Jared. A little more. Because this, I about fell out of my chair. There it is. No? I'm getting on the ground. I'm reading it here. There it is. Mr. Kushner, co-founder of Cadre in 2014 with his brothers Joshua and Ryan Williams, a 29-year-old friend. They got $1 billion. Okay, Jared, while we're on it, let's do this one, Jared. Did I have it up here? Oh, hey, Jared, I don't want to, listen, I'm not going to say much. I'm just going to show you guys some information here, and then you make your own decision, okay? I came across this website somewhere. Jared, it says, who controls Trump? Because we're all upset. Everybody's upset. And if you're a conservative worth anything in your blood, you are upset with this battle, with this budget battle that they just, Planned Parenthood's funded, the wall's not funded, illegal immigrants are funded. Everything is funded. Everything. Everything. We thought it was going to drain the swamp. Everything. And so somehow this popped up on it. Jared, you might want to enlarge this. I want you, right there, stop right there, Jared, at the beginning. And enlarge this. Who controls Donald Trump? I'm just going to read some names here, and I'm not even going to comment. $1 billion in loans. Here's number one. What they put up at Donald Trump's Jewish cabal. Michael Abood, communications coordinator for Trump. Go ahead. Paul Eitzneidler, an Ashkenazi Jew, chairman and supervisory board. Go on, Jared. Miriam Adelson, Ashkenazi Jew, endorsed Donald Trump for president, donor, future PAC, blah, blah, blah. Go on down. Sheldon Addison, Ashkenazi Jew. Go on down. Next one. Paul Adkins, Trump's strategy and policy forum. Go on down. Brian Ballard, finance chairman, Trump Presidential Inauguration Committee. Go on down. Why, Tom Barrack, donor, Trump Victory Fund member. Go on down, Jared. Well, I'll send you this link. Abraham Berkowitz, assistant to Jared Kushner and special assistant to President Trump at the White House. Next one, Terry Branstad, United States Ambassador to China. Andrew Abramberg, Director of the Domestic Policy and Assistant to President Trump. You're going to have to go back and watch one of our previous shows if this is going to make any sense to you. Elliot Broldry, Vice Chairman, Trump Victory Committee. Next one, Safra Katz, Executive Committee Member, Trump Presidential Transition Team. Next one, Michael Cohen, Executive Vice President, Special Counsel of the Trump Organization. Next one, Gary Cohn, Director, United States National Economic Council. Reed Cordish, Assistant to the President Trump for Intergovernmental and Technology Initiatives, the White House. Okay, we can go on. I'll send you this list. You can go down through them all you want. And we can deny, Steve, we can deny what we see or whatever. Hey, this will be on Right Wing Watch, right? I'm just showing you Trump's inner circle. And then you make your own decision about what you see. Anybody got something to say?
Yeah, how do we get on that team? Man, I want to join it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. How come, I'm going to be careful what I say because I – third rail politics right here. This is third rail. You get what I'm saying, George? you follow me? Yeah. Drain the swamp, boys. We're going to drain the swamp, right? Yeah. Okay, you ready? Well, here's the problem. And you all know this because we talked about this earlier before on our show, but there are more people joining every day. So I'm going to show you a little video here on the Fed. I want you to know one thing. The Federal Reserve is not federal. The Federal Reserve is a private owned group of people who control all of the money in the world. Now, you don't have to believe it, okay? You don't have to believe in chemtrails. You don't have to believe in pedophiles. You don't have to believe in anything. You can sit right in the middle of your church and ignore all this stuff, but I'm going to try to make some connections for you today that you just say, wow, and scratch your head about what's going on. The Federal Reserve, let me make this for you very clear. The Federal Reserve is a non-governmental agency. It's not controlled in any way, shape, or form by the American government. The federal government is the one who prints the money. It's not the United States government. The Federal Reserve does. They print the money out of thin air, and they loan it to people and collect interest. It'd be like loaning somebody air and then getting money for it. Or how about this? Like Pepsi. They're selling water for $1.50 a bottle, and people buy it. It's crazy, isn't it? Okay, here we go. I hear you. Hey, I hear you, tinfoil hat folks. I said yesterday I'd rather err on the side of tinfoils, okay, and let you figure it all out. Here it is, about seven minutes, the Federal Reserve, how the financial elite of our country. Well, here we go.
In order to begin to understand how our financial system works, we need to go back to the early 1900s, 1910 to be exact. Everyone at some point in their lives has heard of the Federal Reserve, but most likely don't understand what it is or how it works. The Federal Reserve, referred to as the Fed, is a central bank that many economists refer to as the biggest robbery ever enacted on the American people. The reason for this is because the Federal Reserve is neither part of the federal government, nor does it have any reserves. Yet, this single organization controls the money supply of the most powerful country in the world. The Fed is very diligent in hiding the fact that they are not part of the government. The last thing they want the American people to fully understand is that our government does not control our own money. In order to achieve this, they were very clever and decided to call their institution the Federal Reserve. And by labeling themselves this way, the general public never thought twice about who was in control of the country's money supply. If the Federal Reserve is not part of the government, then who controls this private organization and how did this come to be? The answer to this question is what changed the course of our country forever. In November of 1910, a secret meeting took place of six bankers and economic policymakers who represented the financial elite of the Western world. It was hosted at the J.P. Morgan Estate on Jekyll Island in Georgia. In attendance was Senator Nelson W. Aldrich, Abram Pyatt Andrew Jr., Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, Frank Vanderlip, President of National City Bank of New York, Henry P. Davidson, Senior Partner of J.P. Morgan & Company, Charles D. Norton, President of First National Bank of New York, Paul Warburg, Director of Wells Fargo, Benjamin Strong, the emissary for J.P. Morgan, and coincidentally, the first president of the Federal Reserve. Years later, Frank Vanderlip referred to this meeting as the actual conception of what eventually became the Federal Reserve System. This meeting was so secret at the time that not even the names of those who attended were mentioned to the servants who lived and worked on the island. The men who attended came on a late-night train, claiming to be on their way to a hunting expedition, but instead, these bankers met with Senator Nelson Aldrich to draft what would eventually become the Federal Reserve Act. This private meeting, attended by some of the most powerful men in America, was strategically designed to take control of our country's money supply and to achieve ultimate power in America. Meyer Amschid Rothschild, one of the most powerful European bankers of his time, stated it best when he said, "Permit me to issue and control the money of the nation, and I care not who makes its laws." On December 23, 1913, 2 days before Christmas, when most people in Congress were home with their families, the Federal Reserve Act was signed into law by President Woodrow Wilson. That single act, however small it may seem, transferred the control of our monetary system from our government into the hands of some of the wealthiest men in our country. Putting into law the Federal Reserve Act gave unlimited power to a few wealthy banking institutions in America. The Fed has the power to issue currency, manipulate interest rates, and run secret bailouts. Yet Congress and the President are not allowed full oversight over this powerful organization. The Federal Reserve enjoys a monopoly over the creation of our nation's money and credit, but for 100 years, they have never been completely transparent and accountable about it. And we don't have to look back too far from today to see what it looks like in real life. When testifying before Congress in 2009, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke refused to disclose which institutions received trillions of dollars in these bailouts and loans, or give our representatives details about what deals were being made.
So my question to you is, will you tell the American people to whom you lent $2.2 trillion of their dollars? Will you tell us who got that money and what the terms are of those agreements?
Hundreds and hundreds of banks, any bank or that has access to the U.S. Federal Reserve's discount.
Will you tell us who they are?
No.
In an interview with Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, he makes the stunning assertion that conducting a full audit of the Federal Reserve, something never before done in its 100-year history, is a line that we don't want to cross. To be denied full transparency of these transactions after U.S. taxpayers contributed over $16 trillion to these bailouts and loans is unthinkable and unconstitutional. It is our right as American citizens to know where our money is being spent. It's very ironic that if you don't give the IRS full transparency with your finances, you go to jail. But if you're a private organization of elite bankers that controls the money supply of a country, you're free to do as you please without full oversight. This private organization is arrogant in the fact that the same accounting laws that apply to the rest of America do not apply to them.
There is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take.
Their control appears to be unlimited. And 2008 is the most recent example of how much power the Fed actually has on our country.
Many of us were told in private conversations that if we voted against this bill on Monday, that the sky would fall, the market would drop 2,000 or 3,000 points the first day, another couple thousand the second day, and a few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no. That's what I call fear-mongering.
The elite banking institutions took trillions of dollars worth of risk, and when they lost their bets, they threatened politicians to use taxpayer money to bail them out, or else we would face an Armageddon type of scenario. This historic change of power in America is again why many economists refer to it as the biggest robbery ever enacted on the American people.
Okay, so the financial system, because I've been, as I said, Michelle and I have been trying to deal with banks in regards to a construction loan for a house, this stuff becomes more and more real to us. Folks, listen, I want you to understand this. First of all, there really is hardly any money at all. Money is an illusion. So when we see that the government's in, what, $20 trillion in debt, is that where we are, $20 trillion? There isn't $20 trillion. I mean, as far as $1 bill, $2, $5, $10, $15, there isn't that money. When you make a transaction at your bank, it's electronic. You don't see the money. In fact, if you want to go into your bank today and tell them that you want to withdraw $10,000 to buy a car, you're going to have to fill out all kinds of paperwork. They're going to try to figure out what are you doing with this money, because why? They don't have a whole lot of money. They don't have a whole lot of cash. And so when they make a loan to you, they create in the banking system new money. Okay? They call it the fractional reserve banking system. I'm sorry, I don't want your eyes to glaze over. But it's important for us to understand that when you take out a loan, you create money. When I go to the bank and I say, listen, I would like to borrow $100,000. Please understand this. They don't have $100,000. They put $100,000 in digits in my account, and then I have to pay interest on this money that they didn't even have. Steve, help me out here. Am I missing something? See, this is amazing to me that Steve, a financial expert, would be on the show this morning. I didn't invite him on, nothing. I was presenting this, putting this all together, and I come in here and log on, and there is Steve. Help me out here, Steve.
Well, I'm right here for you, Coach. And, you know, I'm right after the show wraps, I'm working with a high school student on studying for an AP economics exam, and the fractional reserve system is something that we do go over. The idea is if you put $100 into a bank at a deposit, let's say that the bank can keep 10% of that money in cash. Like that level is set by the Federal Reserve as a tool of monetary supply. And so the bank will keep, let's say they can keep 10%. So they'll keep $10 and then they loan out 90. Then that $90 in loans gets deposited to another bank. And so that bank will hold 10% and lend it out. And so it keeps going around in this circle. And so this is why we have the idea that systems can be too big to fail, and because it's all interconnected. And there's the stuff we could talk for days, and we could peel back layers, and it would get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. But the point is, the system that we have is designed to fail. It's designed to implode and then go into something else. And the real question that we have is, well, who's going to control that, and what's it going to look like on the other side? And that's the battle, and that's part of what the dynamic is that we're seeing in the geopolitical situation and all these various decisions. It's like, who's going to get the blame?
Who's going to be left holding the bag when there isn't any money? It already happened in Russia, right? We saw Russia's economy collapse, and we're out here believing ours isn't going to collapse. Listen, I'm in a hurry. I'm trying to just feed you bites, okay? Now, I'm going to feed you a bite here that is going to concern many of you that are watching, okay? You know what the greatest growing debt in America is today? It's a new form of slavery, government slavery called, that's not the one I want, Jared, hang on a minute, called student debt. Remember, hey, guys, let's wake up here a minute now. Let's wake up. Who are the most anti-government, where will you find the most anti-American people in the American system? Where will you find them? I say on college campuses. That's where we will find the most anti-American professors, organizations, all of that kind of stuff. And that, so what happened back Obama in 2010, although my year could be. Do you remember when you went to college? When I went to college, I had to go to my local bank and I had to get a loan. My dad had to co-sign the loan. I remember it well. Money didn't even mean anything because I was going to go to college and come out and be able to pay it off. Do you know now that you don't do that anymore? You can, but when you go get a college loan today, do you know who you're borrowing the money from? Well, why, the government has taken over the college loan program. That when your child goes and takes out $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 in debt to go through college, who does he owe the money to? Why, the government. He owes. Did you know that they're finding out that Obama took money made from student loans and funded Obamacare? Do you know that that was going? Does anybody know that? No, we probably don't know that. So, Jared, is that the one I want up there, Jared? Yes, yeah, student loans, called the Game of Loans. Watch this, folks. This is Prager University.
The acclaimed TV show, Game of Thrones. Seven kingdoms vying for power, plots within plots, watch your back or lose your head. It's great. But you've probably never heard of the real life drama that I call the Game of Loans. That's a game Washington politicians play on young people, that is, college students, every day. Just like Game of Thrones, the Game of Loans has plots within plots, big winners and big losers. The winners are politicians and colleges. They fool students into thinking that by generously providing ever larger college loans to cover ever larger tuition costs, they have earned students' votes at election time. Why do I say students are fooled? Because it is thanks to the very politicians who promise students more and more aid, in league with the colleges, that college tuition became so expensive in the first place. Here's how the game works. According to Bloomberg News, since 1978, the cost of a college education has gone up by over 1,000%, way past the rate of inflation. Tuition alone at many colleges is $20,000, $40,000, even $50,000 a year. So how do you pay for it? Answer, student loans. Loans the government is happy to give you since they collect the interest. You don't have to be a finance major to figure out that all these student loans give colleges no incentive to cut costs. Instead, it gives them every incentive to raise costs. Higher tuition obviously means more money for the college. Now, if students were going to college in record numbers to study engineering or computer science or biology, professions with high employment rates, maybe these crazy sums would make some sense. Maybe. But the most common majors are in the social sciences and communications, in subjects like sociology, cinema history, and gender studies. Not surprisingly, these majors have very high unemployment rates, as in, they don't prepare you for a job. And these majors are mainstream. You can get a degree in storytelling, bagpiping, and puppet arts for your $50,000 a year. But here's the point. Colleges are no longer primarily about preparing you for a career. Today's higher education is about teaching you what a terrible country America is, social activism, and binge drinking. Hey, if college didn't cost so much, the parties might be worth it. But it does. The average student loan debt in America is $28,400 per borrower. Note, that is per borrower, not graduate. Big difference. A large chunk of the $1.3 trillion student loan liability is held by ex-students who never graduated. For every 100 students who enter a four-year college, only 59 exit with a degree. But maybe you're one of the lucky ones. You got a business degree and you found a decent job. Chances are you're paying off your student loans and will be for the next 10, 20, or even 30 years. Good luck saving money for a down payment on a house or just about anything else. Mike Rowe from the TV show Dirty Jobs nicely summarized the issue this way. We are lending money we don't have to kids who can't pay it back to train them for jobs that no longer exist. So am I saying college is always a waste of time and money? Of course not. But I am saying this. One, remember that if you take out a student loan, it's not free money. You actually have to pay it back. I know this sounds ridiculously basic, but it's also ridiculously important. And since you owe this money to the federal government, you can't get out of it, even if you declare bankruptcy. Two, whenever you hear politicians say they want to make college more affordable, what they're really saying is they want to get the youth vote while making it easier for you to dig yourself into a deep hole. These politicians don't have your best interest at heart. They have their own best interests at heart, namely getting elected. You don't owe them anything. The game of loans is rigged and not in your favor. But if you're smart about your choices, you can beat the odds. I'm Charlie Kirk of Turning Point USA.
When's the last time you heard that in your church? And do you understand this, guys and girls? Do we understand this? That not only when we're taking out college loans, we now become indebted to who? This same New World Order that's running the government. Kids are graduating from college owing the government $50,000, $60,000. And churches are not, again, alerting people to what's going on. They're encouraging kids to go to college. Hey, listen, why isn't college free? Why isn't it free? Well, we know why it's not free. Because they're in cahoots. Those college professors who are of their father, the devil, take your child and indoctrinate your child in anti-Western civilization culture, indoctrinate them in it, and are getting paid huge sums of money by the government to perform the job. We are sending our children, we are paying for our children to be financially indebted to Caesar for the rest of their lives. Floor is open. Somebody jump in here. I dug me another hole.
Well, Coach, part of the idea is, all right, this is the ethos. If you want to do well, then you have to go to college. You have to be a part of the system.
You hear that in church. You hear it in church. You hear it in church.
Yeah, if one of my students says that they're not interested in going to college or that they wouldn't mind if they didn't go to college, you know, it's like gasp worthy.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is a sense in which what used to be the case in terms of institutional structure is no longer the case. And this, you know, I graduated from college in 2010, completely different atmosphere, completely different environment. And it's beyond that. I mean, you could take it one step further. I mean, why are our tax dollars going to radicalize the next generation against our own country?
Because there's only two teams. There's only two teams, see? God has a team and the devil has a team. And if the church doesn't wake up and understand that all of our institutions are under the control of the evil one, if we don't wake up and understand, we are going to be buried in our own country. Most of us cannot wait to send our children off to college, and we don't understand what is happening, not only to them when we do that, but what the chains of financial commitment are being put over their shoulders as a result of it. I didn't mean to step on you, Steve. I was looking at the clock.
Oh, it's okay, Coach. I think there's one really important thing for everyone to consider beyond all the economic and financial talk. What's going on here is a bank robbery, but it's the banks that are robbing everyone else.
Amen.
I wrote an article called The Quadrillion Dollar Bank Heist. What they're doing is they're printing monopoly money to buy up all the real assets, and then everyone else holds the monopoly money. The monopoly money crashes. They have all the stuff. So, you know, it's a crazy kind of dynamic, and what people need to do is do everything that they can to protect themselves while maintaining liquidity. You know, you can't just take all your bank account and put it under the mattress because that's going to lose money due to inflation and you need to pay your bills. But, you know, do smart things. Call Ross Powell at Survival 401k. You can transfer your IRAs and CDs and other retirement accounts without necessarily paying the full rate of taxes and penalties. And so that's worth doing if you can get your hands on it. Get your hands on some physical precious metals and, you know, hang in there.
Taxes and penalties, right? Huh? Remember when you could put your money in a bank and get 6%? Huh? Remember that?
It's funny.
No more, brother. No more. Anybody else here? Jump in here. See, folks, this is a moral issue. These are the issues that we need to be talking about in churches to awaken people to what's going on, how we're putting our own children into financial bondage to the evil one. We don't even see it. Instead, we got smoke machines and skinny jean, cropped hair music leaders.
You know, the Constitution clearly puts it in the wheelhouse of the Congress to print the money and control it. The 10th Amendment says only those duties specifically stated in the Constitution of the federal government, only those can be done. There is nothing in the Constitution that says Congress gets to abrogate and extract itself from that requirement and obligation and give it over to a private company. It is not there in the Constitution.
No, we don't care about the Constitution anymore, Larry.
Robbing us, but it is unconstitutional.
So let's look at what's going on around America. Where is all this hell breaking loose? Why? Berkeley! It's about $70,000 a year to go to Berkeley. What do they teach you at Berkeley? They teach you how to not be a Christian and not be an American. No wonder the government is loaning money to everybody to go there, see? No wonder, because what they have done then is they've enslaved the populace to government. Just got a minute left. Somebody wind me up here. Wind me down.
Truth has fallen in the street, Coach. It's Isaiah 59. It's a powerful chapter. I'd encourage everyone to read it.
Truth has fallen in the street and it can't get up. And hey, Rich, I bet you this isn't welcome in churches. You're going to try to get pastors to start preaching on this stuff. They don't want to go there because everybody wants the American dream of going to college and having a beautiful home. Well, here's the truth. In today's America, if you go to college, you probably aren't going to have a beautiful home because you're going to graduate with a mortgage payment to the government for your education. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Hey, Coach, I just hired a plumber. I paid more to the plumber than I did to my house payment.
Well, Tim, I saw this. Electricians. A guy can wire a house. In about 10 years, there ain't going to be any of them. That is the number one job in America, as being an electrician and nobody's doing it. Everybody's going to college and doing gender studies and health and physical education. Take your child, homeschoolers out there, take your child and give them a skill that they can use and they're going to be fine. Man, oh man, there's so much long way to go, short time to get there. Just wanted to lay this out on the table for you today. Shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it's going to make you free. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.